so it causes the body's metabolism to slow, in some cases, for months. It makes sense, then, that when mammals hibernate, they break the typical habits of their habitat. For example, they lose their sex drive, their appetite, their interest in or need to move about in their environment, and their connection to social networks. They hide to protect themselves and to feel safe, and during this time of going within, their body goes into stasis. The same might be true for us as these values elevate. Because the body is no longer the mind, we temporarily lose our interest in the outer world. And because we have no biological drives and aren't distracted with bodily needs, we're able to move more fully into the present moment and go deeply within. If you're going to dream the dream of the future, wouldn't it be a good idea to get your body out of the way? If you take that molecule and advance it yet again, you produce the same chemical found in electric eels, a phosphorescent, bioluminescent chemical that amplifies energy in the nervous system. You can refer to figure 12.10 again. This chemical can be powerful enough to cause a significant shock. I have a strong hunch this is the rare chemical that influences the brain to process those increased amplitudes of energy that we've repeatedly measured in our students. Just imagine an electric eel that literally lights up with energy when it gets stimulated. That's what happens in the brain when it gets activated. But the energy and information that are created do not come from an experience in our environment that we perceive through our senses, but instead from within the brain, caused by an upgrade in frequency. When we see those high energy levels in the brain, we know that the person is having a profound, subjective experience that can be measured objectively. Think about that for a moment. Via sensory input from our environment through our eyes, the pineal gland makes serotonin and melatonin. This visible light coming from the sun causes us to move into harmony with our environment, which we call the circadian rhythm. As a result of this process, serotonin and melatonin carry information equal to the frequency coming from the physical world. Because we perceive visible light through our senses, those molecules are inherent to humans, thus they are equivalent to the realm of our three-dimensional reality. Remember, as Einstein said, that the ceiling of this material world is the speed of light. But what happens as the brain processes an increase in frequency and information from a realm beyond the senses and beyond the speed of light? Is it possible that information and energy coming from the unified field change the chemistry of melatonin to become another chemical counterpart in the brain? And could our brain translate those frequencies into a message? If energy is the epiphenomenon of matter, it makes sense that the information coming from a frequency faster than visible light would be able to alter the molecular structure of melatonin into profound elixirs within our brain. The pineal gland is responsible for translating that information into a chemical variation of melatonin. Therefore, that molecule carries a different message equal to that frequency. That new frequency is now influencing an enhanced superchemical. That's no longer natural, that's supernatural. Melatonin gets an upgrade. Not only does this phosphorescent, bioluminescent chemical increase the energy in the brain, but it enhances the imagery the mind internally perceives so that everything looks as though it's made of vivid, surreal, luminescent light. As a result, people have reported experiencing colors they've never seen before because they exist outside their known experience of the visible light spectrum. These colors appear as profound, otherworldly, glowing lights in a technicolor, lucid, opalescent world of suspended beauty. Everything appears as if it's emitting beautiful light made of vivid, radiant energy that you can feel. This world of golden, shimmering, bright halos within and around everything appears more illuminated than your sensory-based reality. And of course, it will be difficult to take your attention off all its beauty. Because all your attention is on this experience, it will seem as though you are actually there, totally present in this other world or dimension. Take a look at figure 12.10 again. Alter melatonin one more time and you produce the chemical dimethyltryptamine, DMT, one of the most powerful hallucinogenic substances known to man. This is the same chemical found in ayahuasca, a traditional spiritual plant medicine used in ceremonies by the indigenous people of the Amazon. DMT's primary active ingredient is said to create spiritual visions and profound insights into the mystery of the self. When ayahuasca or other plant chemicals containing this molecule are ingested, the body receives only DMT. But when the pineal gland is activated, it receives the whole blend of aforementioned chemicals, and this causes some very profound inner experiences. Some of these experiences have been reported to create profound time dilation. Time appears infinite, time travel, journeys to paranormal realms, visions of complex geometric patterns, encounters with spiritual beings, and other mystical interdimensional realities. Many of our students during the pineal gland meditation report amazing encounters beyond their known physical world. When these chemicals are released in the brain, the mind has experiences that appear more real than anything that person has ever encountered in their sensory-based reality. This new dimension is difficult to articulate with language. The novel experience that results will occur as a complete unknown, and if you surrender to it, it's always worth it. Tuning in to higher dimensions, the pineal gland as a transducer. Depending on the translation you're using, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, Jesus said, "If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." I believe he was talking about activating the pineal gland, because this allows us to experience a broader spectrum of reality. Many of our students can attest to the fact that when their pineal gland becomes activated, when they fully connect with the unified field, their whole body becomes filled with energy and light. Beginning from the cosmic field, energy from beyond their senses enters through the top of their head and travels down throughout their whole body. When this occurs, they experience downloadable information beyond their memory base or the predictable knowns of their daily lives. And it all begins with the chemical alteration of melatonin in the pineal gland. In all of my research about the pineal gland, I've evolved my own understanding of it into the following definition. The pineal gland is a crystalline superconductor that sends, as well as receives, information through the transduction of energetic vibrational signals, frequency beyond the senses, also known as the quantum field, and translates it into biological tissue, the brain and the mind, in the form of meaningful imagery, the same way as an antenna translates different channels onto a TV screen. When the pineal gland is activated, because you now have this tiny antenna in your brain, the higher the frequency it picks up, the more energy it exerts towards altering and transmuting the chemistry of melatonin. As a result of this change in chemistry, you're going to get a very different experience from what melatonin normally produces. Perhaps a better way to say it is that you're going to get a clearer picture. Think of it this way. The higher the frequency, the more your experience will feel like you've gone from the picture of a 1960s television screen to a 360-degree IMAX 3D experience, complete with surround sound. Melatonin, the dreaming neurotransmitter, evolves into a more powerfully lucid neurotransmitter to make our dreams more real. Throughout this process, the pineal gland has a co-conspirator called the pituitary gland. The pituitary gland looks like a pear, and it sits behind the bridge of the upper nose, right in the middle of the brain. The front, anterior, part of it is responsible for making most of the chemicals that influence the glands and hormones associated with each of our energy centers. Once the pineal gland is activated and it releases certain upgraded metabolites, the back, posterior, of the pituitary gland awakens, causing it to produce two important chemicals, oxytocin and vasopressin. The first chemical, oxytocin, is known to produce elevated emotions that cause your heart to swell with love and joy. It's been referred to as the chemical of emotional connection or the bonding hormone. When oxytocin levels are elevated above normal, most people experience intense feelings of love, forgiveness, compassion, joy, wholeness, and empathy. Not an inner state you'd probably be willing to trade for something outside of you. These states are, after all, the beginning of unconditional love. When oxytocin levels go up beyond a certain level, research shows that it's difficult to hold a grudge. In a study conducted by scientists at the University of Zurich, 49 participants played a variation of what is known as the trust game 12 consecutive times. In this game, an investor with a certain amount of money must decide either to keep it or to share some of it with another player called the trustee. Whatever sum the investor shares with the trustee is automatically tripled. The trustee is then faced with a decision: keep all the money, leaving the investor with nothing, or share the tripled sum with the investor, who is obviously hoping to make a profit. Basically, the either-or decision comes down to betrayal. While a selfish act is a win for the trustee, it leaves the investor at a loss. But what if oxytocin is introduced into the equation? In the study, the researchers gave some players a squirt of oxytocin in their nose before the game, giving the others a squirt of placebo. The researchers then took fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, scans of the investors' brains as they made their decisions regarding the amount to invest and whether or not to trust. After the first six rounds, the investors were given feedback on their investments and were notified that their trust had been betrayed about half of the time. The participants who received the placebo before playing the game felt angry and betrayed, so they invested much less in the closing six rounds. The participants who received a squirt of oxytocin, however, invested the same amount as they had in the first rounds, despite having been betrayed. The fMRI scans showed the key areas of the brain affected were the amygdala, associated with fear, anxiety, stress, and aggression, and the dorsal striatum, which guides future behaviors based on positive feedback. Participants who received the oxytocin had much lower activity in the amygdala, equating to less anger and fear of being betrayed again, as well as less fear of financial loss. They also had much lower activity in the dorsal striatum, meaning they no longer needed to rely on positive results to make future decisions. As this study demonstrates, the moment the posterior pituitary releases its chemicals and oxytocin levels go up, this shuts down the survival centers in the brain's amygdala, meaning it cools off the circuits for fear, sadness, pain, anxiety, aggression, and anger. Then the only thing we feel is a love for life. We've measured the levels of oxytocin in our students before and after our workshops. At the conclusion of the event, some of them had elevated their levels significantly. When we interviewed those students, many of them kept saying, "I'm just so in love with my life and everyone in it. I never want this feeling to go away. I want to remember this feeling forever. This is who I really am." The other chemical the pituitary gland makes as the pineal gland is activated is called vasopressin, or antidiuretic hormone. As vasopressin levels go up, the body naturally retains fluids, causing the body to become more water-based. This is important because if you're going to process a greater frequency, you need water to act as a conduit to better handle the higher frequency in the body, and to then translate that frequency into your cells. The moment vasopressin goes up, it creates a more stable thyroid gland, which affects the thymus and the heart, which affects the adrenals, which affects the pancreas, which produces a chain cascade of positive effects all the way down to the sexual organs. When we tune in to these higher frequencies, we have access to a different kind of light, a frequency faster than visible light, and all of a sudden we are activating a greater intelligence within us. Now, because the pineal gland is activated, we can pick up higher frequencies, which in turn produces a change in chemistry. The higher the frequency we pick up, the more it alters our chemistry, which means the more visual, hallucinogenic, and higher energy experiences we have. The crystals in our pineal gland, acting like a cosmic antenna, are the doorway to these higher vibrational realms of light and information. This is how we have internal experiences that are more real than our external ones. These pineal metabolite chemicals your body produces fit into the same receptor sites as serotonin and melatonin, but they carry a very different chemical message from a realm beyond sensory-based material reality. As a result, the brain is now primed for a mystical experience, opening the door to other dimensions and moving the individual from space-time reality to a time-space reality. Since all frequency carries a message, and that message is a change in chemistry, once the pineal gland gets activated and you start experiencing and processing these higher frequencies, energies, and elevated levels of consciousness, they often present themselves as complex, changing, geometric patterns, usually perceived in the mind's eye. This is good. This is information. When you have these mystical experiences, because your nervous system is so coherent, it's able to tune in to these super coherent messages. In the darkness of the void, the pineal gland becomes the vortex for these very organized patterns and packets of information. And as you place your attention on them, just like a kaleidoscope, they constantly change and evolve. The same way a TV picks up frequencies and turns them into pictures on the screen, the pineal gland chemically transduces higher frequencies into vivid, surreal images. In graphic 13 in the color insert, you can see some of these geometric patterns which are called divine or sacred geometry. Such patterns have been around for thousands of years. In chapter 8, I mentioned that these patterns appear to look like ancient mandalas. They're energy and information in the form of frequency, and if you can surrender to them, your brain, via the pineal gland, will transduce those forms messages, and information into very vivid pictures, imagery, or lucid experiences. The best thing to do when you see or experience these patterns is to surrender to them and not try to make anything happen. These patterns and forms usually do not appear as two-dimensional or static. Instead, they are alive, have depth, and comprise mathematical and very coherent fractal patterns, never-ending and infinitely complex. Another way to see this is through the concept of cymatics. Derived from the Greek word for wave, cymatics are a phenomenon based on vibration or frequency. Here's a way to picture them. Imagine if you took the cover off an old speaker box and laid it flat. If you filled that speaker with fluid, shined a light on it, and began playing classical music up through it, the frequency and vibration of the music would eventually create coherent standing waves. These waves would interfere with each other and eventually create geometric patterns within patterns within patterns. As with a kaleidoscope, you would see these evolving geometric arrangements become more highly organized. The difference between the images in the kaleidoscope and cymatics is that the images in the kaleidoscope appear two-dimensional. Geometric patterns such as cymatics, however, appear to be alive and are three-dimensional or even multi-dimensional. In addition to water, the vibrational effects of cymatics are translatable to sand and air. In other words, these three mediums pick up vibration and frequency and turn them into coherent geometric patterns. If you search, you can find several videos showing this on YouTube. When your pineal gland picks up information, it's picking up these same types of waves in the environment around you. These coherent, highly organized standing waves that exist beyond the visible light spectrum are constantly being consolidated into packets of information and transduced into images by your pineal gland. They are just patterns of information that are intersecting in a very coherent way, and when you put your awareness on them, they change and evolve to become increasingly more fractal, intricate, beautiful, and divine. It's all information, and just like a transducer, your pineal gland takes that information and descrambles it into imagery. This is one of the reasons I decided to use the kaleidoscope as a tool in our advanced events, to train students' brains to be disarmed when they experience this mode of complex imagery, as well as to more easily recognize and open up to receiving this type of information. Additionally, as the kaleidoscope causes the brain to move into alpha or theta brainwaves, and you become more suggestible, you can see how gazing into it in a state of trance primes your subconscious mind for a mystical experience. Once your pineal gland picks up the imagery, fasten your seatbelts because things are going to get exciting. You might come out of your body and travel down a tunnel of light, or your entire body might become filled with light. You might even feel like you've become the entire universe, and when looking down at your body, even find yourself wondering how you're going to get back into it. When you start having these very profound, unknown experiences, you have one of two choices. You can contract in fear because it's the unknown, or you can surrender and trust because it's the unknown. The more you surrender and trust, the deeper and more profound your experiences become. And because the experience is so profound, you're not going to want to rouse yourself back to wakefulness, thereby changing your brainwaves back to beta. Instead, this is the time to surrender, relax, and go even deeper into this transcendental state of consciousness. In this moment, you are not sleeping, you are not awake, you are not dreaming, you are transcendent of this reality. If your brain chemistry is right, your body will be totally and completely sedated. This is what we are training for, to experience greater levels of wholeness, oneness, love, and higher consciousness. But there's more. Alteration in chemistry creates a new reality. Imagine if in this moment all your senses were increased by 25%. If that were the case, everything you were seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and feeling would cause you to become more aware of everything around you. If awareness and consciousness are the same, then as your consciousness is heightened, the energy your brain is receiving would also be increased. Because you can't have a change in consciousness without a change in energy. Or vice versa. As your brain connects to a different frequency that is processing a new stream of consciousness, it is literally turning on. And because your senses feel amplified, you've produced an elevated level of awareness. The higher the energy or frequency, the greater the alteration in your chemistry. And the greater the alteration in your chemistry, the more lucid your experience will be. So when you're in this transcendental state, you feel more awake and more aware than you are in your day-to-day reality. As your awareness amplifies, you would feel as if you were truly in that transcendental reality. If you're picking up information from beyond your senses, information that is not originating from visible light or the sun, then it makes sense that it's called the third eye. Because you had such a profound internal experience, and since new experiences assemble new neural networks, that experience enriches the circuitry in your brain. As your body processes these higher energies, that energy alters your chemistry, and if the end result of an experience is an emotion, then this experience creates elevated feelings and emotions. When it's activated, you are seeing with a different eye, with inner vision. If the accumulation of feelings equals an emotion, and emotion is energy, then we know that when you experience survival emotions, because they are a lowering of frequency, you feel more like the density of matter and chemistry. But as you experience these higher states of consciousness, because they vibrate at a higher frequency, you will begin to feel less like matter or chemistry and more like energy. That's why I call this energy in the form of feelings elevated emotions. If the environment signals the genes in a cell, and experiences from the environment creates emotions, and emotions are the chemical feedback from the experience in the environment, then if nothing ever changes in the external environment, nothing changes in the internal environment of the body, which is still the outer environment of the cell. For example, when you live by the same self-limiting emotions for years, your body never biologically changes because it doesn't know the difference between the emotion coming from the outer environment and the emotion coming from your inner environment. Instead, the body believes it is living in the same environmental conditions because the same emotions are producing the same chemical signals. Just as the body lives in an external environment in which nothing is changing, the cell too lives in a chemical environment in which nothing is changing. But when you start having these internal experiences of heightened awareness and expanded consciousness, experiences that are more real and sensory than any in the past, the moment you feel that new heightened emotion or ecstatic energy, you've altered your internal state, and as a result, you're going to pay more attention to the images of the reality created within you. And if you have a new experience that is so real it captures all the brain's attention, that new experience, or awakening, embosses the event neurologically in your brain. That new emotion now creates a long-term memory, and those new emotions signal new genes. But this time, the experience that's creating the long-term memory is not coming from your outer environment, it is coming from your inner environment, which is still the outer environment of the cell. Because the event is so powerful that you cannot not be aware, therefore, the higher the energy, the higher the consciousness. The higher the consciousness, the greater the awareness. The greater the awareness, the broader experience of reality you have. As we know, all perception is based on how the brain is wired from our experiences in the past. We don't perceive things in our reality the way they are. We perceive reality the way we are. If you just had an internal experience in which you saw profound, mystical beings, witnessed a glow, a halo, or light around everything, felt the wholeness, oneness, and interconnectedness of everything and everyone, or experienced a completely different time and space, when you open your eyes after the experience, your spectrum of reality in your waking state will be broadened. That's because the inner experience changed your brain, and now you're neurologically wired to perceive a greater expression of reality. This is how you begin to change who you are from the inside out. This is how you alter your experience of the three-dimensional world of matter. Evolution on both an individual and a species level is a slow process. You have experiences, you get hurt, you learn your lesson, you grow a little bit. Then you have some more pain, you get the next lesson, you move on to the next challenge, you succeed and achieve goals, you set more goals, you grow again, and the cycle continues. It's a slow process because you're not receiving much new information from your outer environment. But once you have these unknown internal experiences that are more real than anything in your external world, you can never again see reality in the same manner because the experience changes you so profoundly. Another way to say it is that you receive an upgrade or a software update. If all of the reality you perceived is based on your experiences and you've just had an interdimensional experience, your brain is now going to be able to perceive what has always existed but you have never before had the brain circuitry to perceive. If you continuously have these expansive experiences, you will continuously experience a broader and broader spectrum of reality. This lifts the veil of illusion, and when that veil is lifted, you can see reality as it truly is, vibrating, shining, connected, and shimmering in luminescent light. An energy is driving the whole process. You're now tuning in to a greater spectrum of information where all of a sudden everything looks and feels different than it did when you saw it simply as matter, and your relationship changes. This is how the mystics and masters made their way, by tuning into their inner world and thus broadening their perception of the nature of reality in their outer world. Imagine who you could become if you stopped living by the hallmarks of the lower three energy centers, including survival, fear, pain, separation, anger, and competition, and instead live from the heart and operated out of love, oneness, and connection to all things, both seen and unseen. By having enough interdimensional experiences from information beyond the senses, the mystics and the masters no longer saw equal to the genes they were born with. They no longer processed things the way the brain they'd been given at birth had been wired, the way the human brain has been imprinted for thousands of years. Instead, because of their interaction with the field, they created the awareness, the circuitry, and the mind to perceive a different reality, one that's always been there. These mythic and magical properties of the pineal gland, the brain's alchemist, are certainly not new information, although it seems modern science is just now catching up to what ancient civilizations have always known. Melatonin, mathematics, ancient symbols, and the pineal gland. On July 23, 2011, a crop circle that looks very much like the chemical structure of melatonin appeared in the English countryside in Roundway near Devizes, Wiltshire. See figure 12.11. Is the crop circle an elaborate hoax? Or is somebody somewhere in another dimension trying to tell us something? As you read this section, you can decide for yourself whether such things happen by coincidence or intelligent design. The brain has two hemispheres, and if you divided them in half by slicing the brain down the middle, you would perform what is known as a sagittal cut. When looking at a sagittal cut in figure 12.12, pay particular attention to the location and collective formation of the pineal gland, thalamus, hypothalamus, pituitary gland, and corpus callosum. Does that formation remind you of anything? Meant to signify protection, power, and good health, it's the ancient Egyptian symbol called the Eye of Horus. Is it possible that there was an ancient teaching about the autonomic nervous system, the reticular activating system, the thalamic gate, and the pineal gland? The Egyptians must have known the significance of the autonomic nervous system and realized that activating the pineal gland meant they could enter the other world or other dimensions. In the Egyptian system of measurement, the Eye of Horus also represented a fractional quantification system to measure parts of the whole. In modern mathematics, we call this the Fibonacci constant or Fibonacci sequence. As I mentioned earlier in the book, this is a mathematical formula that shows up everywhere in nature, displayed in patterns you can see in sunflowers, seashells, pineapples, pine cones, eggs, and even the structure of our Milky Way galaxy. Also known as the golden spiral, the golden mean, or the golden ratio, the Fibonacci constant is characterized by the fact that every number after the first two is the sum of the preceding two. If you superimpose this formula over the brain and began dividing squares while adding another square and another square, you'd get a fractal pattern, a never-ending pattern that repeats itself at every scale. Starting at the pineal gland, this formula outlines the exact structure of the brain. See figure 12.13. Are you beginning to think that there might be something special going on with the pineal gland? In Greek mythology, Hermes was a messenger of the gods who could move in and out of earthly and divine realms. He was considered a god of transitions and dimensions, as well as a guide to the afterlife. His main symbol was the caduceus, which consists of two snakes wrapped around a rod, the top of which unfolds into wings or birds. See figure 12.14. The caduceus, which Hermes used as a staff, is often considered a symbol of health. Do you think those snakes moving up the staff represent the movement of energy up the spine from the body to the brain, and the wings the liberation of the self when the energy arrives at the pineal gland to signify enlightenment? The crown represents our highest potential and our greatest expression of the divine when we activate our pineal gland, represented by the pine cone.